Hit him then. After we'd sighted the seal again, Mike put into the canoe with the outboard motor and set off on his own in the direction where it was. Early in July in 1960, when I was in Frobisher Bay in the eastern Arctic, I was invited out with some Eskimos on my first seal hunt. There were four men in the Peterhead boat, all armed with rifles and harpoons. They had been born in a seal hunting economy. They had been clad in sealskin clothes, their tents had been warmed by seal oil lamps, and they had been brought up on a predominantly seal meat diet. The chief hunter was Mike, an Eskimo in his 30s with a tuberculous family. He led the hunt, kept the keenest lookout for the small black football head of the seal, and when we spotted one, he was always given the privilege of first shot, because he was the best marksman, and the Eskimos were in need of fresh meat. I recorded the hunt as we sighted a seal. The first organised seal hunt to be held by the Rehabilitation Centre was held on a very grey morning in Frobisher Bay. Two canoes came in to collect the supplies. The canoes were equipped with an outboard motor each. They came zooming along the flat, smooth water to collect the gasoline and the oil to be used in the Peterhead boat, which was to take us out to the seal hunt. The Peterhead boat was anchored about a mile, three quarters of a mile to a mile offshore, and the two canoes were ferrying the supplies and fish for cooking the midday meal. They were ferrying it to and fro. Behind the very sandy shore, where one of the gasoline trucks was caught in the very thick grit, behind the shore, rock-strewn and flower-covered in parts, were the red and white buildings of the Hudson's Bay Company, in a beautiful situation underneath the shoulder of a steep little cliff about 100 feet high, tundra-covered. And the red roofs were very bright in the early morning. Frobisher Bay. The tide at Frobisher Bay rises and falls quite a large amount. It's one of the highest rises in the northern continent, I believe, of America, second only to the Bay of Fundy. Here the water rises 40 feet and falls 40 feet in the 12-hour cycle. Overhead the snow buntings could be heard whistling to each other. They're sitting on top of the flagposts and calling. How far out do you think you'll be going?
Well, today?
Well, how far out will they go today?
About 20 miles.
20 miles?
Mm-hmm. Miles, and they'll see nothing. Mm-hmm. Just like fish, you know.
It just depends on the seal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If they're good to you, they'll, you know, come
good
up.
Man. Like dolphins.
Yeah, well, let's see. Rita, when's the best time for seal? This week? Weather like this, best time for seal?
Well, good time, and it's only a little way to about 15 miles, eh?
You're having a little trouble with the engine.
With that one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Peterhead.
This is the first time it's run. It's been run in since the winter time, you know.
Yes. About halfway across the stretch to the boat, the outboard motor failed temporarily, I'm glad to say, and we set off towards the Peterhead, which was lying in the mist by the side of one of the in the lee of one of the little islands in the harbour. There are no mosquitoes here. Supplies came aboard from the canoe with the outboard motor, including a rifle, some rather wet rucksacks because the tide rose rather quickly and didn't find them in time, a soup can and and a cup for bailing out the soup. I hope it's good and tight. I'd be content with catching one seal or more today.
Well, they'll get as many as they can. Yeah. And they could get a dozen, conceivably, but perhaps not. I mean, it all depends.
Yeah. This is the first trip this season, is it, from the rehab centre? Or the first one of all of the rehab centre?
It's the first trip this season. We had one, the boat arrived late last year in October, and before freeze-up, we had time for one trip that lasted about 10 days. We went down for walrus, but by the time we got there, the walrus were all gone. And I wasn't with the trip, actually. I wasn't along. But by the time the boys got down there, the walrus were all gone, but they got 20 seals.
Oh, good.
And so it was profitable, to some extent anyway.
I believe this is one of your pet projects. Can you just say why?
Well, that's kind of a hard thing to say in a short time, but one of the main reasons that it's one of my pet projects is that it's something that that can continue independent of any other type of development. Sure, there may be wage employment, there may be mining, there may be airports, and so on and so forth, but hunting in an organized manner is something that will always be something which will increase or the standard of living of the people and make it possible for them to make a better living.
Yes, I believe you have it at heart there. You feel that they require this sort of meat. Is that right?
Oh, definitely. And this is definitely. And here in Frobisher Bay, where you have about 800 Eskimos and most of them employed, meat is in short supply, and if we can get it by through the efforts of this organized hunt in the summertime and store it until the lean months of November and December and January and February, when there's a very great fresh meat shortage here, well, then we can sell it back to the people and it will improve their health, and they'll be happy too.
Yeah. As you can hear in the background, two of the Eskimos hauling up the anchor. It's done by hand. While Mr. Green lent a hand with hauling up the anchor, Mike, one of the best hunters in Frobisher Bay, was busy pumping out the water amidships. This was another manual operation. As soon as the anchor was up, Mike got busy with the starting the engine. Names of the three Eskimos were on board are Mike, who was the one of the best hunters in the area, Spyglassy, an Eskimo, I say he's about 45, if he'll forgive me, and Isa. Spyglassy probably reflects the influence of the whaling days in this area, and Isa is probably named by named after the missionaries had reached the settlement he first lived in. I guess Mike's got it going now. Oh. Hi, Glassy, the captain?
No, but he's one of the fellows that knows the coast best.
Oh, he knows the coast best?
Mm-hmm. Well, because I say so.
Yes, Mike's the skipper. Yes. And why
also
else?
Also because he does have a lot of respect as a good hunter and so on.
Yeah, he's respected as a good hunter.
Yes.
Mm. Up the seals mostly, Mr. Green, around the islands or...
Well,
in
this
sea.
Time of the year, they come right here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any place here, you could see a seal.
Yes.
Any time.
Mm-hmm.
They come in this close, right in the springtime. Later on, you've got to go down about 35 or 40 miles, and then you run into the...
Where did the boat come from, Mr. Green?
This one was built in Lake Harbor by Eskimos over there who were engaged in a boat-building project under the... guidance of the Hudson Bay Company.
I see. Who trains them? Are they trained by the original Peterhead builders or not?
Yes, I think probably the fellow that Hudson Bay Company had in there probably was a kind of an original Peterhead builder. He was a Scotsman, and originally this is where the boats were designed and,
yes.
and built. And he was there for a number of years, but last year he went out and the Eskimos built this boat on their own.
Jolly good. It's getting pretty chilly, isn't it? The ice seems to have disappeared almost completely now here. C.D. Howe is waiting at the bottom of the bay to come in, is that right? Have you heard that?
No. That would be the Deeperville or one of the other icebreakers. They're usually one of the first ones that come up here, and they usually do wait down there, and then when they can, they clear a path through for other ships that are coming. And I said that I'd have to get together with the boys and find out what they wanted to call it.
Yes.
And I did the other day, and they told me that they were going to call it Tucuk. And Tucuk means the head of a harpoon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the very tip of a harpoon.
Yes.
And the tip that comes off and goes into the animal, and they named it this because of the shape of the front of it.
Did you do that when you launched it into the water this year?
What?
Put the name on it.
Oh, well, the name's all ready to go on, but it isn't on yet. No, we didn't put it on. As soon as we get back from probably tomorrow, they'll come down and put the name on. They cut it out in plywood letters in the shop, and it's all ready to go. All it has to be just put on now. Wait until the seal put his head right up high, and then he aimed right at the point of his chin, and that's exactly where he hit him, right in the point of his chin, not a quarter of an inch off.
He deserves
right
his
through,
reputation.
Right up through his head.
Mm-hmm.
He never moved an inch. After, because they're headed down, and what's left in them, even after their kill, gives them the last kick, you know. But this guy, he never moved an inch.
About an hour out of Apex Hill, Mike sighted the first seal. He stood in the prow with his telescopic rifle poised and waited for the seal to bog up again. The seal bobs its head out of water to take air and then dives. As soon as it realizes it's sighted, it swims in a straight line. Raised his rifle. He knew where it would come up again. It raised its head once again, and the boat crept closer. Half steam. Mike, move forward. He's waiting now for the seal to pop up its head again. He has a rough idea of where it will come up. He closed his eye to the sight. Steve came up once again. He's just waiting till he gets closer. They're very difficult to pick up out of the water once they're shot. You have to really be in the canoe so you can, they're more accessible. This time of the year, they sink rather quickly. A little later, when they're fatter, they'll float after they're shot. Of geese took off from the water and fled in a straight line and alighted. They fled out of the range of his rifle. If Mike hit the seal with his first shot, but the boat is now moving closer at about 3/4 speed to the last place where the seal came up. Head again, Mike's focusing on it with his telescope. Sight! The seal has dropped again below the surface. Mike seems rather cheerful. I don't think he's hit it yet. But we're heading in the direction where it submerged. You certainly set on getting the seal this time. It's easier to pick it up into a canoe than into a big Peterhead boat. We're closing in on a seal again. It's poison. We don't know yet if he's got him, but the seal has dived underwater. 3:45, and we have been on the water since about 10 o'clock this morning. This is the fourth seal we have sighted today. The seal is just rising now again out of the water. You can see his head like a little black football. He's taking air. And, oh! Mike had him in his sights. The telescopic sight of his rifle. Pressed the trigger and it just clicked. He's now trying the... I think that was a bullseye. The little seal has popped his head up again. He's in for a hot reception. Mike's waiting. We have now moved into a large area where the ice is lying quite heavily. And we're edging our way on the Peterhead through the ice floes. Spyglassy is at the wheel and it's pretty cold here. The tears running down his cheeks. His eyes are watering so much with the chill. We're on the lookout for these seals which seem to be eluding us, though we've taken pot shots at quite a number so far. There are three rifles on board. Mike, Spyglassy, and Isaac.